This is Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. Jack Gallagher's a three-time Emmy winner. He's been a TV host many times. He's been in movies. Oh, he has stories to tell. And in his 40 years plus as a comedian, he's been telling many of those stories. You've heard a lot of them, but there are some that he hasn't told until now, which he does in his new show at B Street Theater in Sacramento. It's called A Stand-Up Guy, and Jack is here.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's always nice to see you. Thanks for having me.
Do you know that we think this is your 12th visit to Insight?
Is that right?
Yeah.
We
found segments back to January of 2006 and the show called What He Left.
Yeah, I was sure about my dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Wow. Well, thank you. It's always fun and it's always helpful. So I appreciate it.
I really admire that you have simultaneously been living your life and performing it, writing it, putting it out there, and not with big lag time in between. In the case of this show, you do reflect back to earlier in your career, but for the most part, you're narrating it and sharing it as it's happening.
It seems like that. It's funny because I, looking back writing this one, I always think that the last one I wrote is the last one I'll write. So I wrote one 2 years ago about a bicycle accident I had, and then I started the B Street. Sophia got in touch with me and asked if I had another idea. And I was talking to my son Declan about just my various parts of my career because he's trying to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, there's a lot of stories here. So we started to write this show.
Letters to Declan is a show that goes back to 1993.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was based on letters you were writing both to Declan and your son Liam.
Right.
They're now in their 20s?
They are. Declan will be 28 this month, and Liam will be 24 in November.
Yeah. Have you given them the letters you've been writing to them?
No, they'll get them when I'm gone. So they're in a drawer at the house, and when I'm gone, they'll get them.
Hmm. So you said to Declan, let's co-write this show, which you do?
Well, he's trying to do the same thing I'm doing. He lives in Brooklyn. He's a performer. He's a writer. We had some ideas, and he said he'd heard some of these stories that I tell on the show. And I said, well, do you want to write it with me? It sort of developed organically. I was showing him stuff I'd written, and he was sort of editing and moving stuff around. And I said, let's just write this together. So we just kept sending the manuscript back and forth, basically cross-country, and he would edit and cut and what about this story? You haven't told that story.
What about some of those stories you haven't told? And we really get more of the Johnny Carson experience in this show.
Yeah, I talk about that. I talk about meeting you at Channel 3 when we worked there together.
Well, you can tell I haven't seen the show or I'd be talking to you
About coming up and I auditioned with you.
Yes.
And Shelley Monahan. And
for a show called TV Light.
TV Light and Margaret Larson.
Yes.
So I talk about that a little bit. I talk about tonight. It's basically the show is it's not chronological, but it does talk about the very first joke I ever wrote to where I am now and just being on. I spent 15 years, an average of 35 weeks a year on the road.
Wow.
Doing nightclubs and concerts. And so I talk about that. And it's basically about my career as a stand-up, anecdotes and stories about traveling and people I've met, things I've done. And I actually talk a little bit about the technical aspects of doing stand-up.
Yeah. Is it your director, Jerry Montoya, or someone involved with the show told us that it takes 10,000 hours, this is some of what you've calculated, to get even semi-decent, and then crafting the individual jokes will take longer?
Right. I think what you want is people to think that you go on stage and everything is spontaneous and right off the top of your head. But I would tape every show and listen over and over and over, and I'd move sentences around, and I'd transpose words, and I'd find little bits that I could build a bit from, and it takes a long, long time. And you have to learn techniques. You have to learn how to deal with small crowds. You have to learn to deal with the physical environment. You have to deal with hecklers. There's all these different, really, things that you need to learn how to do to be a stand-up. It doesn't just come with being naturally funny, which helps. And then you have to find your own style.
Even when you're serious, it makes me laugh.
It's true.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. There's a lot of work involved.
Can you tell that first joke here, or is this too sterile? I'm your only audience in front of you. So.
The first joke I wrote, I'll give you a synopsis of it. I was going golfing with my dad and a friend of his, and my dad kept saying he's going to rent me a bag. I think I was 10 or 12. And he said, he kept calling it a Sunday bag. We're going to get you a Sunday bag. And when we got there, the Sunday bag would just look like, it was terrible. It had rips and stains and holes. And we were walking out to the first tee. And I said, it looks like the Sunday bag was out late Saturday night. And I didn't write that. It just came out. And I thought, well, that's, I just always like laughter. I love the rhythm of jokes. I love the way jokes are built. And I tell one joke in the show on top of that one. Because I don't write jokes. I'm a storyteller, so I tell stories. And my stories have laughs in them, but they're not set up in punch.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how shy are you as a person? You just have always struck me as having an innate shyness that you've been amazingly accomplished at overriding.
I don't know. I'm fairly shy. When I started doing stand-up, my parents were shocked. Like, you're going to talk in front of a group of people.
Because they thought of you as shy.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe a 7 or an 8. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not great at parties. I like being on stage because I'm in control. There's no awkward gaps in conversation. There's no feeling like I've said the wrong thing or I'm not going to know the answer to a question.
In the press release for this show, there's a paragraph about David Letterman drawing the analogy that if you got on The Tonight Show, it meant you could hit the curveball, and it took you 5 auditions. Mm-hmm. But then in November of 1985, Johnny Carson announced your name. We hear some of the scene. We see some of the video. Do you go back in time to that moment? Is that one of those expanded sensory experiences?
What's interesting about this show is I didn't think about a lot of this stuff because, like everybody with your career in your day-to-day, you just go from one thing to the next. You're not starting, but I'm 66 now. So I'm starting to look back, and then I have all these calendars, my work calendars, and I started looking at those things. I remember that night specifically because mm-hmm. I say in the show that that was the highlight of my career, getting on the I wanted to be on The Tonight Show from the time I was 14 or 15. Mm-hmm. So finally, and then I couldn't get on because of my style conflicted with what they like. And I finally got on, and it was a huge moment. It was just, I just remember that moment as being, well, it was validating. It was good for me. It was good for Gene Ellen. I mean, we had moved from Massachusetts to Los Angeles without knowing what we were going to do. And it was a huge, huge moment. I mean, and then you're a Tonight Show comedian, which carries some weight.
I know you have to fail and blow it along the way mm-hmm. many times to get good. But the great thing is that you nailed it that night.
Yeah.
And the other great thing in your life, I know, has been your wife.
Right.
Because she has just been by your side and vigilant and encouraging the whole way. Here, I'm tooting her horn. Sorry
about
that.
It's true. She gave up a lot of stuff. She gave up her teaching position in Massachusetts to move to California. She taught in Los Angeles. She moved up here with me. She's just the whole way has been not always thrilled because I was away a lot.
Right.
And we have friends and stuff in Massachusetts, but you're leaving your partner alone for 3 or 4 weeks at a time. But she's just been incredible. I mean, I can't say enough about how supportive she's been. She didn't have to be.
Jack Gallagher's latest show is A Stand-Up Guy. It continues at B Street Theater through October 20th. There are shows Tuesdays through Sundays. You're doing what?
We do eight shows in six days. Yeah.
How is that?
It's a lot. We do 2 on Wednesday and 2 on Saturday and then 1 each other night. It's a lot. I get tired. And the show's kind of long. It's like a 2-hour show. And so I'm just alone for 2 hours talking. We get a break. We get an intermission. But yeah, it's a stretch.
Which you have mastered in these deeply personal solo shows. But you're still coming off of that concussion experience, which we mm-hmm. glossed over. And mm-hmm. and how altogether yourself do you feel?
I feel fine. I'm back riding my bike. I don't get to ride as much as I used to because of this. But I feel fine. I'm tired. And I can't explain sometimes why I'm tired. I guess it's just because I'm working so much. And I'm getting older. So, but I think people ask about that, which I always appreciate. I think I'm probably 95 or 96% back from where I was before. And that stuff that I'm not back, I'm not going to get back. So, but I feel fine. I'm very, very, very fortunate that that accident wasn't a lot worse than it could have been.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm very happy.
Among those 12 visits you had with us, two or three of them discussed the concussion, and we'll make sure that all those links are there because it was pretty remarkable. I'm sure one of those visits you don't even and will never remember.
It's funny because I'll talk to people and they'll say, wow, you're just so much more basically there than you were the last time I saw you. And I think, really? Because I thought I was doing okay. But then I run into people that say, oh, no. Yeah, I'll tell you sometime the story about my brother calling me and then calling my wife and saying, what is going on with him? Because he's not making any sense at all.
Yeah, it is not funny at all. I'm so fortunate that you're here with us and you look great.
Thank you.
You sound great. This pacing of the shows, I'm so excited to see it.
Yeah,
so.
I think that people will really like it. It's a little kind of inside baseball in terms of stand-up and show business and what you have to do to get ahead or what you have to not do to get ahead. And I think people will like it. I'm happy with it.
And
Declan
was
such a huge part of it. I'm thrilled that he got to help. He's in it, too.
A funny piece of video, which we could not air.
No, we can't air that.
On not,
you could air it on cable, but you couldn't air it here. But he's great in it.
All right. Thanks, Jack. And
thank
continued
you.
Success with all of this.
Thanks.
That is Jack Gallagher. The show is A Stand-Up Guy through October 20th at B Street Theater. We'll post a link. That's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak. Thanks for joining us.
I'm Jeffrey Callison. I started Insight back in 2004. Insight has been around for 15 years, and I'm confident it's going to be around for many more years because there's a need for it, there's a demand for it, and there's a support for it. Support from listeners like you.
Some of the details might have changed, but what we want to do for you every day is still grounded in connecting you with the community in a truthful, realistic, and sometimes pretty entertaining way as well.
So you can show your love for Insight, your appreciation for Insight by making your generous contribution. You can do it at capradio.org or by calling 800-800-5867.
Oh, he still remembers the phone number.
I've never said it or thought about it in all those years, and it just suddenly popped out. On my deathbed, I'll go 800-800-5867.
Good job, Jeffrey.
It is the 15th anniversary of Insight and the 40th anniversary for Capital Public Radio. Thank you for listening to it on Cap Radio. Today is special. We have matching funds for folks starting a new monthly gift. Start a monthly donation, $10 a month or more, and it will be matched dollar for dollar.
Exactly. So just like St. Jennifer said, I'm Chris Hagen. I'm our senior editor for digital. I'm here with Jennifer Holm, who works in our membership department. And we're asking you right now to start a monthly donation of $10 or more today, and it will be matched dollar for dollar for an entire year. So as an example, start a monthly donation of $10 a month, $120 will be applied from the match.
Absolutely. Start a monthly donation of $20 and $240 will be applied from the match. All you have to do is get that monthly gift started. And the Cap Radio Board of Directors are offering to match it. And we have $40,000 today to do it, but it will go fast.
And as we said, today only. So this is the perfect way to start your donation to Capital Public Radio. Double the impact of your sustainer donation right now. Start a $10 monthly gift or more, and that will go to that matching funds. That will get doubled your impact, but only if you call right now.
Cap Radio has expanded our role as a watchdog at the state capitol. PolitiFact California fact-checks statements by elected officials and anyone who speaks up on matters of public importance. We're holding up our end of the bargain to bring you top-notch political journalism. Now's your chance. Hold up your end of the bargain by contributing $10 a month or more at capradio.org or by calling 1-800-800-5867.
And when you make that call, Cap Radio sounds so much better because you have joined. You know that you are supporting it and you are a part of it. Whenever you hear one of those PolitiFact fact checks, you know that your contribution helps support it. So do that right now. Go to capradio.org or call 1-800-800-5867. That's 1-800-800-5867.
The Cap Radio Board of Directors is matching your donation today when you start a monthly gift. today only. Start that monthly contribution, $10 a month or more, and have it matched by our board.
You can double the impact of that sustainer donation. Right now, we mentioned we have $40,000 in matching funds to work with today, but only if you call and donate.
Donate right now by phone or online. That's 1-800-800-5867 or donate securely at capradio.org. And thank you.